Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us 34 minutes after the hour. So look, I'm on the program. One of my fellow radio brethren, Joey Clark, News Talk 93.1. That's about an hour from now. And then a show regular, Paul DeMarco, former lawmaker, now a practicing attorney. But we're going to talk about yesterday's redistricting decision and what he thinks of the way that kind of came out. Like I said, not a big surprise to a lot of us, but still some fallout nonetheless. Anyway, enough of that. Joining us now, it's my pleasure to introduce my next guest. She's been on a time or two before, but we're always glad to get her on. State Representative Susan Dubose from Hoover, technically, but Shelby County is probably more accurate. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me on and looking forward to our conversation.
Hey, thank you for making time. I do appreciate it. Let's, if we can, start here. Well, yesterday we saw the governor's now involved, but we have public libraries maybe that are maybe freelancing, if you would, and promoting things that I don't think that are in the realm of these traditional values. But I guess what gets us is it's we didn't have this conversation. Should we start going in this direction with LGBTQ content? And not really having some communities involved in these discussions, but you're looking at it and you're saying, hey, I guess right now you're kind of in a fact-finding stage, but you have some ideas you want to put forward. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, I'll be happy to. So I got involved in this issue because we have a library here in my area, the North Shelby County Library, which is where I live. It's a very conservative district. But a parent pointed out to me that there was a concerning display in the young children's section during Pride Week, which also happened to be summer reading sign-up, actually month. It was a whole month. And it was a display in the middle of the children's section, which is this is 0 to age 10. A large display, and every book displayed was about transgenderism, and it introduced the topic of transgender to very young children. And it was just concerning to this parent. She wasn't ready to discuss that topic with her kids. And she just simply asked the librarian director if he would relocate that. The librarian said no. So there was a public hearing, or there was actually it's just a board meeting of the library, and about 100 people showed up, probably maybe even 200. We had to change rooms. It was so busy. But they addressed the board and asked, you know, can we come to some sort of compromise here? Is there a place we can put these books? It's just not right in the face of a five-year-old. And the board decided not to even vote on it. And they said, no, we won't vote on it because the American Library Association considers that censorship and we won't even discuss it. So that was appalling. So that led me to start really investigating the American Library Association. And our Alabama Library Association is a member of it. And it brought me straight to Marxism, believe it or not. The president of the American Library Association is a loud and proud Marxist. And I'm not just saying that for dramatic effect. That is her true social belief. She ran on a platform of Marxism. And she was voted by all the members of the Library Association from throughout the United States. Every state voted her to be president of the American Library Association. So we are led, our libraries are led by a loud and proud Marxist. And we know that Marxists, their goal is the abolition of the family. They don't believe in parental rights. They believe that the government is smarter and they should make decisions for your children. And I believe that's where all this is coming from. I believe it's being pushed down from the top to our libraries. They are deciding the content that our children should read. They are deciding the narrative. And it's frightful, in my opinion. And we have got to stand up to this.
Well, tell me, the remedy here getting, I guess, the disentanglement of the American Library Association from the Alabama Association. I mean, how do you even start? Is it do we really need to start thinking about action from the top, be it executive or legislative? Is that the right way to go here?
I like to see it. You know, let's just work from the bottom up, right? I believe in grassroots movements. I want, as we are doing, this is what we're doing. This is a protest of parents that are unhappy, and they are saying to their library, we do not want to be dictated by an American Library Association who does not represent our values. We want guidelines to come from the local level. Most of these local libraries, believe it or not, are just copy and pasting their policies from the American Library Association. Why would we, why would anybody in this state, any library, or why would our Alabama Library Association want to be affiliated with an organization led by a Marxist? I can't see any good coming from that. So why would they pay dues to that organization? Why would they take training with that organization? Their goals do not match our goals. So I say, yes, let's pull out of the American Library Association. And I would love to see some leadership from our Alabama Public Library Service that makes a statement. We no longer agree with the American Library Association, and that gives some guidance to our local libraries, maybe write some guidance that allows for some age appropriateness in books. The American Library Association believes all children should make all decisions for any book they want to read. So if a five-year-old wants to read Hustler magazine, they should be allowed to. Obviously, we don't believe that in Alabama, and we want there to be some age appropriateness. If you have a section called children's section, that should be age appropriate for children.
Well, and tell me, this is interesting. Well, I was listening to you on my friend Phil Williams' radio show that, I mean, there's some consent questions here, and there's also, you know, a potential violation of obscenity laws, and we know how the Constitution and the interpretation of the First Amendment applies to that. It really doesn't. So I guess my question to you is this, like, you know, there's some things here that aren't necessarily meeting the legal test either when it comes to what these libraries are doing, right?
That's exactly right. We, you know, the American Library Association and the Alabama Library Association both believe, well, I'll read the statement I read on Phil's show. We reject past, current, and future efforts to remove access to materials from consenting readers. They believe that children are consenting readers. So that's a problem. And in Alabama, we, you know, children can't give consent to everything. There are guidelines for children until they get to be 18 and they can make decisions for themselves. And, you know, and then regarding obscenity, of course, we have anti-obscenity laws. So children shouldn't, you know, and that's adults, that's for adults as well. So there are some things that a library wouldn't even be allowed to carry because it crosses over into that obscenity realm. Just something that's just so atrocious that a normal person wouldn't consider it decent.
Now I know you say you would prefer the grassroots approach, the bottom up, but I mean, obviously your involvement here and you're a state lawmaker. Is this something that if you don't see
that's
some movement
be the next
here,
step.
You guys
yeah.
got to get involved.
That's right. And we may have to. And I'm perfectly willing to lead that charge. We may have to do that. And, you know, if we don't see the library self-correcting or if they keep falling back on this statement from the American Library Association, which I wouldn't be surprised if we see that. Or if they keep saying, well, there's legal issues involved and we're scared to do this. Maybe we will need to write some legislation to help them feel comfortable doing the right thing and to kind of give them that legal avenue that they need. And I'm perfectly willing to do that. And sometimes it is necessary to go back and look at legislation and more clearly define things. And I think that's what it might be. And, you know, we've already started looking at that to an extent with these drag queen library hours, which is another thing that was pushed down from the American Library Association. They believe in that's just another right that they have, another access that they should have to our children. So there was already some proposed legislation out there about eliminating that because we consider that indecent exposure to our children. And it's just another way of clarifying the law when we keep pushing things to this extreme that we never thought we'd see in our lifetime. When did we ever think what we'd see drag queens wanting to come to a library? Why? Something is just not right about that. Why do they want to read to our children? in the, you know, that's just beyond my imagination. So, yes, we've already talked about tightening up the law there, and I think this is something that could easily be remedied in the realm of that law as well.
Yeah, it's this, though, Representative, like, you know, in some places where they do not have any restrictions on what goes in the public library. I mean, I feel like they had a process. They had a discussion. Those communities said, okay, this is going to be our culture. This is the way we're going to do what we're doing. We never got that discussion in Alabama. It seems like they skipped right over that. I mean,
they
I don't remember having any of these discussions. I don't know if you do, but they just decided, hey, we're gonna have a Pride Month display in the North Shelby County Library or wherever, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, we didn't know you know, shame on us. We weren't paying close enough attention. We didn't really know we need those discussions. It just seems sort of obvious. You wouldn't put that in front of a 5-year-old. But when libraries start doing it, and then you ask for a discussion, and they completely ignore you, that's the problem. To tell you the truth, if North Shelby County Library had said, you know what, let's sit down and come up with a reasonable compromise. We'll take these books from the middle and we'll put them up on the upper shelf where if a parent wants to pull them down for their child, they can. But a child doesn't just walk into it and start reading it. Some of these books are, you know, they're honestly kind of disguised. You pick it up, it's got beautiful photos at first and all this, and then all of a sudden they're talking about, you know, George wants to be Georgette. And, you know, John wants to wear a dress to school, and Mary feels like a boy to a 3-year-old. That's, you know, it's just not a conversation you want to have. If North Shelby County had a conversation and made a reasonable compromise, we probably wouldn't even be here today. But because they wouldn't discuss it, because they said, oh, we can't, that's censorship. According to the American Library Association, well, here we are. Now we know they have shown their true colors. We know where they're staying.
Well, and here's the other, I guess, another point here is it just seems like this is a bigger, broader problem. Right now we're talking about public libraries and what are essentially civil servants, bureaucrats that work here, they're government employees. But this seems to be kind of rampant throughout government, local level, but I'd say even at the state level where, you know, you guys make laws and the policy is set by the executive, but these agencies are these, you know, these branches lower down the food chain just kind of do whatever they want. They don't really care what you got to say.
And yes, that's true. And so it depends on who you have on your board of directors, on your local board of directors for libraries or for anywhere, for that matter, on your school board. You know, we've seen that school board. That's why elections are so important. A lot of cases with the libraries, their board is appointed by the city council or the mayor or the county commission. And then they select, you know, the library board, and the library board in turn selects the librarian. The director of the library is the one that spends most of the time selecting the books and planning the displays. So it's important to know who all your elected officials are all the way down the chain, because when it comes right down to it, these library directors are pretty much running the show. And if they're going to fall back on ALA, they aren't going to listen to parents one bit.
Well, now, another possible avenue you have here, and we talk about this all the time, is, you know, the power of the purse and what might happen if these libraries continue to be defiant of what I think is the consent of the governed, and you guys got to start talking about taking away some state money from some of these public libraries.
That's absolutely right. And I will tell you, North Shelby County has already lost some money because we have two legislators that cover that district, myself and Arnold Mooney, and they are not receiving any educational grant money from us. I'm sending $10,000 to Chelsea, to Leeds, and to Arndale, because they have fabulous libraries that are led by good librarians that are listening to their family values and listening to their communities and not doing some of these displays that are uncomfortable for families. So I can tell you North Shelby County has already missed out. They've also lost donor money. But in addition to that, yes, at the state level, we appropriate money to the public libraries, and we could cut back on that. You know, I don't want to. I don't want to defund libraries, and I don't want somebody going around saying I'm about defunding libraries, because I'm really not. I'm about promoting good libraries, and I want to encourage good libraries, to listen to their communities and to keep kids safe. And there's a way to do both. So I'm about promoting good libraries. But honestly, if they continue to be so defiant and not listen to communities, what can you do? You know, we don't want our public libraries to be an arm of a Marxist association. We don't want them pushing their indoctrination down to our children. And that's what I'm seeing in some of these libraries.
Hey, last question. We'll get you out of here on this. The pushback from the intellectually dishonest left of center media in this state is it is book banning that you're just a mouth breathing rube. You don't know.
Right.
I mean, to me, they're tells you what you need to know, that they're not getting at the heart of the matter. They're not talking about these books. They're trying to make it about something else that it's not really about at all.
That's right. And, you know, the Library Association, American Library Association, of course, they've changed the definition of censorship and banning to meet their agenda. That's just, you know, this lingo that they do. But, of course, this is not, we're not talking about censorship, and we are not talking about banning books. We're asking for books, in most cases, just to be relocated. So that is not a book ban. There are book bans that go on in certain countries in the world where books are not allowed to be printed, where people are put in jail for writing about certain topics. That's a book ban. There were books that were banned and burned in Germany. That is not what we're doing here. And to associate us with that kind of language is just for sensationalism and dramatic effect. And, you know, we're just not going to fall for that. We're not going to be intimidated by that kind of ridiculous terminology.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you were very kind to come on this program, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Y'all have a great day.
You do the same. That was State Representative Susan Dubose there. We got to get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Forth Show on FM Talk 106.5. The deck of 50.